to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We pray that you are having a marvelous, wonder, super califragilistic expialidocious type of day. And we want to encourage you to get in the Word and not only learn the Word, but love the Word, live the Word, and spread the Word. And we would greatly appreciate that. So I'm the type of guy that I really like to take advantage of opportunities that arise before the need arises. And so today I want to tell you about Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They are in Rockledge, Florida, where they have been taking care of people's atmospheric or environmental control systems for getting close to 50 years now. Not quite 50 years, but it's well over 40 years that they've been providing professional sales, services, and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. So there are some people who postpone until the very last minute getting themselves prepared. And then when that happens, you find yourself competing with all of the other people who have postponed until the very last minute. Right now, when the temperatures are milder and sometimes even cold, would not be a bad time if you think that your air conditioner is going to need to be replaced to give them a call and have them come out and take a look at your system. And if it needs to be replaced, excuse me, you won't be competing with all of those other people are finding themselves in the same situation. So in years gone by, when we had an air conditioner that needed to be replaced at church, we had it replaced in January. When I needed a system replaced at my house, I had it replaced in December. It's just the way that I like to do things. I like to not be competing with everybody else in an emergency situation. It's nice to have a air conditioning repair company or heater repair company or electrical repair company that you have an established relationship, and you know that they are going to provide you with great service at an affordable price. So Wyrick Air, Weirich, they work in residential settings. They even work in some light commercial settings and provide emergency service necessary. So write this number down. Give them a call if you need to, 321-632-9538. If you don't need to now, you may need to in the future, so write that number down. They're licensed, they're insured, they've got all of the state requirements, I's dotted, T's crossed. They will do a great job. Listen, you don't stay in business for as many decades as they've been in business if you aren't treating your customers right and you're not doing a good job. So I highly recommend Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So we are going to be going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 today. Right now we're in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus had said to those people who had called him Lord, Lord, he said, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And we never want to hear those words. We want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So we are looking at lawlessness. We've been in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. For the past several broadcasts, we have been looking at the incompatibility between righteousness and lawlessness. We have been looking at the incompatibility of light and dark and the incompatibility of being in accord with Christ and being in accord with Belial. Those two things are not possible. You cannot be in one accord with the anointed one who serves God with delight and desire and wants to redeem people with the same, and you can't be in accord at the same time with the person who's rebelled against God, who is trying to incite rebellion against God and wants to destroy the very people that God wants to redeem. Those two things are incompatible. We talked about the believer and the unbeliever, and that there's incompatibility there as well. And verse number 16 says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." So here we see that the temple that is being discussed here is not a structure made of stones and mortar and wood and all sorts of ornateness. He says, you're the temple of the living God. The Bible describes us as the temple of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And so he says, what agreement is there, or what union is there between the temple of God and the temple with idols? What agreement is there between God and idols? And there isn't any. They're incompatible, because God in the Ten Commandments that was given to Moses said, you shall not make any graven image. And so the temple is the place not just that is designated for God, but it is the dwelling place of God. It's not just a place that God owns. It's the place that he wants to make his home in. And so I know that there's a lot of people and they own a lot of different properties and things like that. And in fact, sometimes they forget about everything that they own, but that is not the case with God. God redeems you so he can dwell in you. Now, you think about the miraculous. Let me describe to you what a miracle that is. That which was once at enmity with God is now in submission to God. That which is finite is the home to the God who is infinite, who is beyond measure, who is holy even though we are not, you know, without flaw. It truly is a miracle. It is a distinction of the great compassion of God and his tender mercies that he works in our lives in such a manner that he says, that's where I want to live. In all honesty, there are nicer homes in Merritt Island than what we live in. You know, if we decided to sell our house, we could probably move into a nicer place and it would not, you know, horribly impact the budget. We could probably do that. But my wife loves our house. Now, it's not that she loves it to the point that she's would say no if God said, I need to shift you here in Brevard County to make a bigger impact. She's open to that, but she also realizes that that's where our family was raised. We've owned the place for a long time. It's a place that we've worked to make our own. It was a fixer-upper. And so it's the place she likes to live in. It comfortable there. Not listen, my wife is not high maintenance when it comes to possessions She's not like that at all. She's not attached to things like that. She's like, this is the house that God gave us. And if he gave it to us for a season, I want to enjoy it for the season that he gave it to us. But this is the house that God gave us. There's a miraculous testimony behind that house. And, you know, it truly is a God's provision for us. And we're not the type of people that just go off and do things without praying and asking, God, is this your will or is this not your will? So, she likes living there. Well, God is exactly the same way as you, and he does not want to share you with a demonic idol. He doesn't want to share the worship that you have set aside for him. He doesn't want to share that with anything inferior, because he believes in exclusive relationship with you. He's not going to compromise his word. I've had a number of people through the years, not a lot, but several, and they said, well, God and I have an agreement that we can violate the word of God here, and in doing that, you know, he's given me a special permission. If you ever hear somebody use the word special permission to violate the word of God, please understand that they've been deceived. And so deal with them as a person who may, you know, have some growing to do. And so you need to deal with them in truth, but you also need to deal with them in tender love. Truth and love, those two things are not incompatible. I tell people the same thing about faith and wisdom. Faith and wisdom are not exclusive of one another. They are both gifts from God, and we need to operate with the spirit of faith, and we need to operate with the spirit of wisdom. Those two things work great together. So here he says, what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement or what union is there with the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. An idol was made as a representation of a supposed deity, but God describes himself as the living God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay? So you've got idols that lead to death trying to share the same territory with the God who is life himself. Scientists have tried, with a great deal of effort to take that which is inanimate and make something animate out of it with no effect. They have to start with something in order to be able to come close to doing any something. Listen, The things that they describe that are necessary for spontaneous life, they've not even come close to doing the most basic, the lowest level. They haven't achieved even the first rung on a ladder of that yet. God simply said, let there be life, and bam, there it was. He formed man and breathed into him the breath of life. We exist because of the purpose of God, and he is the living God. He is alive. You know, there was that series of movies, God's Not Dead. There was God's Not Dead 1, 2, and 3, I think. You know, one of my favorite stories is, there was a philosopher that said, in 100 years from now, the Bible will not exist because God is dead. And 100 years later, they were printing Bibles out of that exact same structure. God's not dead. I don't care what it looks like sociologically. I don't care about the headline of the news. I don't care whether it's popular or not. God is alive. He's living, and he is also the source of life. And because of that, he has made some statements. Verse number 16 continues, "For you are the temple of the living God, and as God has said." And that's where we get back to the Word of God again as the standard. Okay? I've told you the story about the time in math class that I thought I'd found an error in the textbook, and all of my classmates said that there was an error in the textbook when they double-checked my work, and I took it to the teacher, and she said 9 times 7 is 63, not 56, and there was the problem. It was, I was blinded by my own work, and that's one of the reasons why if you ever write something, it's really difficult to proofread your own work, because you know what you meant to say. One of the things that really makes me scratch my head about modern journalism is the number of errors. You know, they're supposed to be the purveyors of truth. You know, we're guarding against, you know, misinformation and disinformation and all of that sort of stuff. And folks, they can't even get the right words in their articles. I make no bones about it here. I'm not perfect. As a communicator, I was driving down the road one day listening to a rebroadcast, and I meant to say that the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, and I said the children of Egypt were brought out of Israel, and I just kind of like, Bob, what in the world? And, you know, but I don't have a staff that is going around, you know, I would much rather come across with this format and let you know that I'm human, and that God can use anybody, and I can laugh at myself and things like that. But listen, these professional news organizations, they've got people who write the articles, people who proofread the articles. They have people who generate the headlines and go through all of those steps, and they can still get all sorts of misspelled words and incorrect words. I saw, and if you just do, you know, that automated spell check, well, if you have replaced one word that with a different word, but it is a legitimate word, it's not going to show up as an error. Excuse me. So I was reading one article several weeks ago, and it was talking about someone who had won, as in been victorious. And in this article, they used the word won, as in O-N-E, won. And it's like, and I read it several times, and it's like, now they have used the wrong word. They may have even dictated it in, you know, their dictation software, just put in the wrong word. It happens a bunch in journalism. So I want to get back to what God has said, because God does not misspeak. God says what he means, and he means what he says. So over the next several statements, we are going to be talking about the will of God, and I want you, as we're going through these things, to understand that the deceptiveness of lawlessness is trying to deprive believers of these benefits that come from living in a righteous standing before God. Everything that the enemy does in your life is either to rob or steal or kill or destroy. He doesn't have your best interest at heart. So I see that there's a whole lot of emphasis that is going on in people's lives right now, where they are trying to make as much money as possible, thinking that will give them the benefits of the type of life that they want. And yet, if you look at the headlines, you will find that many of these quote-unquote so-called influencers are living some really messed up lives. And they're not living the joy of the Lord. They're sowing seeds of misery and strife and discord. And, you know, there's far too many of them who are, you know, like the person that I talked about. They're chasing their goals. Only when they achieve their goals, they claim them and discover, is this all there is? Is this all there is? So let's look at what God has said about his will that says, you know what? I want to choose to be yoked together with believers. I want to have fellowship with righteousness, not lawlessness. I want to commune with light, not darkness. I want to be in one accord and in union with Christ, not Belial. I want to have an agreement to let God dwell inside of me. So here's the first statement of will, and it is here in verse number 16. God says, I will dwell in them. That's, God's not just looking to write your name in the Lamb's book of life. His goal is to do life together with you. That's his goal. To do life together with you. He's looking to take up residence inside of you. Okay. There are a lot of people that say, oh, I don't believe in demon possession or anything like that. Well, let me tell you, there's parts of the world that's not a philosophical discussion. They live in societies where people being possessed by demons is very real. I want you to understand that that is the devil's counterfeit of destruction to God's genuine offer to live inside of us, where the fullness of the Godhead, you know, is in operation inside of our lives, not just as a matter of truth, but it is a matter of life. So Jesus living inside of us allows us to be reconciled to the Father, where we are in right standing before God. With the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we are able to produce the fruit of the Spirit, live with the gifts of the Spirit in operation, be guided into all truth. And so we're able to do life together with God. He takes up residence inside of us. And, you know, that, to me, is I have this kind of blunt statement that I make. God's not looking for a one night stand with you. He's not looking for a one and done experience where you come to an altar and you pray and you get up and you go and do whatever you want to do. That's not what God's goal is. God's will is to take up residence in my life, residence in your life, and to dwell in them, not just us as individuals, but the church being a group of people who have God living inside of them, and God is free to move about in our community. So in our visitors packet at Merritt Assembly of God, I don't know if anybody ever reads this or not, but this is what it says. We come to church on Sunday morning. We have a plan. We have what we feel like God has laid up on our hearts, but it's God's house, and God is free to change the agenda at any point in time that he wants. And that's reality. So there may be times when my worship leader is leading worship and the Spirit of God, I love worship, but I love other people to lead worship. That way I can focus on what God is saying to me at that point in time. And there are many times that God will say, let's extend the worship here just a little bit instead of just moving on to the next song. And so I have no problem going up and say, come on, everybody, let's worship the Lord. This is an opportunity that we can't afford to miss. When God speaks, when God expresses his will, that should not be easily dismissed and easily moved on from. We need to take advantage of that situation. Can you imagine what a benefit your life has when God is the core of your existence, when getting together with the people of God who've made God the core of their existence? Can you imagine what a benefit that is? I was talking to a person here in the community several weeks ago. They were talking about some problems they were having at their house, physical house. And they said, it's so reassuring to know when I'm dealing with this that I've got a person in my life that knows how to resolve all these problems. Now, let me put that to you in spiritual terms. Aren't you glad that you have God dwelling in you? That no matter what problems you face in your life, he has the wisdom, the experience, and the expertise, and the ability to resolve those issues in a victorious manner. Don't do life alone. Do life with Jesus, because Jesus wants to live in you. He wants to live in me, and he wants to live inside the church. He wants to be an on-site God. God bless you. You have a great day. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.